From Olympia, we say good morning to Ritzville's State Senator, Republican Mark Shessler. Good morning, and thank you for joining us on the Tri-Cities Morning News, Mark.
Great to be back with your listeners.
Now, a couple of things we wanted to touch on. One is Senate Bill 5728, a remedy to agriculture, maybe even maritime in some respects, to the cap and trade.
Well, the bottom line is the majority Dems have yet to hold a single hearing on a single one of these bills. And the final one is actually just a study report back on 1231 that doesn't do much for the independent trucker hauling grain every day in Othello, our Snake River barges, or production egg. And some of the craziest things they've had is, trust British Petroleum, they're fixing this for you. British Petroleum supported cap and tax, and they privately admit they won't help the small producers anyway with their plan.
Interesting sidelight to this that we maybe hadn't heard before. How did this develop, and what are farmers saying about this issue?
Well, in December, farmers started asking me, how do I get this refund? What are they going to do? And I said, there is no program. And sure enough, I went back and looked. It was in the law, but when I brought DOE in to talk about it, they said, it's all big oil's fault. It's all big oil's fault. People at the pumps or with a rightful exemption are paying 10 times more than ecology estimated because the Washington Policy Center predicted these 40 and 50 cent diesel prices, and ecology simply said, oh, 3 to 5 cents will be sufficient.
Again, we're talking with State Senator Mark Shessler from Ritzville. Can you tell us about, and this is maybe something I didn't even consider, the barge situation with diesel fuel?
Well, they were listed as a carrier, just like the maritime and fishing industries in other parts of our state. They inevitably have to pass their costs on to producers who are paying the tax themselves with no relief in sight. In fact, the governor's office has said any fix that you put forward cannot cost $1 more. This comes at a time when the first auction netted $300 million more than the estimate, and they're worried about a small amount of leakage.
For people involved in growing the agricultural products that feed the world in eastern Oregon, inputs have gone up, and now just getting their product to market has gone up, and they're taking it from all sides.
Absolutely right. It's been a tough year out there, as oftentimes the case, too little rain in a few places, too much, dealing with bureaucrats, dealing with international markets. But the producers, the maritime industry, and others, they're not asking for a new tax break. They're asking for the state of Washington simply enforce the existing law.
What is the next step?
Well, we're running very short on time. We've got just over 2 weeks left. If we don't have a miracle, I wouldn't be surprised to see the frustrated, overtaxed population consider litigation.
Then that would be costly again. That would just add to the, you know, out-of-pocket expenses that they're already going through.
Well, it would. And, you know, there's one other element. We have our petroleum distributors in our region. I could name names, but that'd probably be free advertising. They're getting caught in the middle between the state of Washington and big oil and the producers that are barge operators, independent truckers, or farmers. They're caught in the middle, and it's unfair to criticize them because they're simply caught in a crossfire.
Well, their costs have gone up at the terminal, and they have to pay that. They have to charge it to the next person down the line, and that's the way it goes. In the end, as consumers, Mark, we'll all pay for this.
Well, absolutely. Every container with ag products, think of on day one, the milk trucks were rolling January 1. 7 days a week, they're picking up and distributing milk, a very basic commodity for our families. And every load of fruit that moves to the packer or processor is there. Those costs come back to haunt hardworking taxpayers.
Again, we're talking with State Senator Mark Shessler from Ritzville, Republican. Also, what's going on in Olympia in regards to the situation with some of the regulations on guns and magazine size and everything else that's associated with gun rights?
Well, I think right now we're likely to see the biggest assault on the Second Amendment in my career. And it's going to be a heated session on the floor when one or more of these measures come, because they are poorly thought out mechanisms to the problem. They trample our Second Amendment rights and are just simply terribly unpopular.
Senator Schessler, I've read over a lot of the proposed assault rifle ban legislation. And as someone who is an advocate for the Second Amendment, as someone who is a firearms enthusiast, when you know something and you look at something that you know, and another party comes in with ideas about that subject, it's really easy to see that they don't know what they're talking about. The list of firearms is arbitrary, incomplete, at the very least, and then some of the other effects to this bill, such as a 30-inch barrel length on a rifle and other aspects like that, they're very rarely manufactured anymore anyway. A typical barrel length for a modern sporting rifle is between 16 and 26 inches. 30-inch barrels and longer are more like antiques or special orders.
Well, they are, and there is an exception to every rule. A number of years ago, one of the most popular products on the market was this style of semi-automatic rifle, but calibered to 22 shells to make it very affordable for plinking and target practice, that made it hugely popular. The people can't tell you why these things are wrong. They're just trying to stomp out our Second Amendment rights.
I think another aspect that's worth looking at when we're talking about this quote-unquote assault rifle ban is the fact that it really does seem like they're just trying to take firearms away from law-abiding citizens. When one of your colleagues on the left got up, I believe it was in the House, and said that the only thing that separates a law-abiding citizen from a non-abiding citizen is when they use their firearm to kill innocent people. That seems like a bit of a hot take. It seems very derogatory as well.
Well, it is. I mean, we are seeing more hug-a-thug, release-a-crook legislation all the time, starting with the early releases by Jay Inslee. Repeat offenders in and out, in and out. And nothing is done. They really, it's the average law-abiding citizen has a problem. Take a look at the training and licensing requirements. My daughter went to a range when she was a college student. Other friends have done the same thing. And they have great teaching programs for people that want to handle firearms. Do you trust government and Jay Inslee to set the criteria for training standards for you to be able to buy a firearm?
Well, considering they don't know what they're talking about, I'd say no.
No, I mean, I think it's a great idea for people to get training. If they don't have a family member and a place to shoot, go to one of the great shops and ranges. They all offer training. But for Jay Inslee to set the criteria should be enough to scare any Washington resident that may want to own a firearm.
Washington State Senator from Ritzville, Republican Mark Schessler, thank you for joining us on the Tri-Cities Morning News.